Romans chapter 14, we're going to get there in just a second. We're in this series called the Gospel-Shaped Church, and we've been looking since last week. This is the second week of talking about gospel-shaped conflict, and we've been talking about how the gospel, or the good news, that Jesus died in our place for our sins, changes the way we disagree with each other and have arguments with each other, and the way that we love one another in the church. It transforms all of that. And today, the title of the message is Stumbling Blocks. Stumbling Blocks. And here's what a stumbling block is, okay? Are you listening? You can respond to me. That's really okay. Are you listening? Okay. All right, good. Stumbling block is something that you do that causes another person to be tempted to sin, okay? Something that you or I do that causes another person to be tempted to sin. That is a stumbling block. And what we need to acknowledge from the outset, what we've been saying for a few months here at the church, is that we're all interconnected. Christians in a church, we're all interconnected. You know, we learned about in Romans chapter 12 how we're all members of the same body. Do you remember that? The same body. Our body has legs, you know, feet, arms, and hands, and those are all connected, and we need each other. We're interconnected. And I was watching a documentary this week. It's the most interesting documentary I've ever seen in my life, about Alex Honnold, who is a climber, and he is a free solo climber. And so he climbs without ropes. And the documentary was all about his climb of the largest rock wall in the world, I think, the most challenging one at least. And that's El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. It's over 3,000-foot wall. It took him over 4 hours to climb it. He had no rope, no parachute. He's the first one to ever do it. Watching this was nauseating. You can go to the next slide. Because sometimes he is just hanging, you know, by a little piece of rock the size of my thumb, and I was just amazed that he made it to the top. And but this is a picture of how some people are trying to live the Christian life. Right there. All alone on the rock face. And this is not how God wants you to live the Christian life. It looks more like the next picture. We're all connected. We're all connected together. We're either helping each other or we're hurting each other, one or the other, but we're all connected. And a belayer, do you know what a belayer is? The one that holds the rope at the bottom and keeps tension on it for the climber. You know, the belayer has to keep their eyes on the climber and make sure that that rope is tight and that they're not out of rope, right? That'd be bad. When you're on the rock face, you have to be looking ahead, if you are ahead, to see if there's been any changes in the rock since the last climb, so you might tell the person behind you. We're in this thing together. And the Christian faith is this endurance climb, or if you want to call it an endurance run, even. And what we need on this climb are other people that can be sturdy, reliable stepping stones. Not stumbling blocks, okay? That's what we need. We need other people in our life that can be sturdy, reliable stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. And so the question is, which one are we today for one another? And it's only a question that you can ask yourself, and only you can answer it. Am I a stepping stone for others around me, or am I a stumbling block? So let's read. If you have your Bible, it is not important what I say, but it's important what God says. Amen? Amen. So let's look at Romans chapter 14 at what God says. Starting in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but that it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another one stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Look in verse 23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Why is that? Because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. This is a challenging passage. Another challenging passage this week. So let's go to the Lord and ask for his help. Father, we come today to sit under your word, to sing your word, to remember Jesus our Savior, that we do not stand on this mountain cliff, as it were, all alone, but Jesus has purchased everything for us. If you gave your son for us, Lord, how will you not give us everything? If you gave your son for us, Lord, how will you not persevere us in our faith? How will you not give us what we need for the trial that we're in right now? How will you not help us stand in temptation? We know that you will, Lord. We know that we're not alone. Father, there are people here that are struggling and hurting. I lift up to you the family of Anna Lee Pressgraves, and I know some of them are here, and I ask for great comfort for them, Lord, and would ask that you would give a peace that passes all understanding. For the LaFue family, Lord, I just pray for healing for Sue right now, who seems to be in the final days of life. And I just pray for David, for him and his family. And I would ask for a miracle that you would heal Sue, that you would give her time with us. And if that not be your will, that you would give her a triumphal entry into your kingdom. And I just lift up all the others here, too many to name, who are hurting and suffering, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that it would be well with them today, well with their souls. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so you have your Bible. Verse 13 says this, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather let us decide not to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in someone's way. Okay, so it says, let us not pass judgment on each other any longer. This little phrase basically sums up last week's text. So if you missed last week, go online, get the podcast, listen to it, go back and read the passage. We talked a lot about not judging each other. Now, was Paul last week and in this verse saying in a similar way that people in the world say, Don't judge people. You know, you do you, I'll do me, and don't judge me. Okay? I hate that phrase, by the way. You do you, I'll do me, and it's like, no, there's a God who has a standard, and he has said many things, and he is great and glorious, and he has a lot of grace for you. But he has spoken, you know. That's not what's being said. You do you, and I'll do me. Don't judge anyone. What he's saying, if we look back in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, in matters of opinions, don't judge each other. That's very important, isn't it? In matters of opinions, don't judge each other. And we talked about last week, I showed you this diagram. You can put it up again, guys, that when we have a disagreement with somebody about what we believe or what we're doing, a certain practice, we should ask, is this issue a gospel issue? Something I need to hold fast, something I may even need to confront someone about in love? Or is this a non-essential opinion that I don't need to fight with someone about, but I can have my opinion? Which one is it, right? Isn't that an important question to ask in any conflict? Is this worth fighting about? It's always important. And so I was talking to some of you after the service and during the week, including my own wife. And she was saying, and others of you were saying, but how do you know if something is a gospel issue? You know, isn't that hard? Like, and so last week I told you a gospel issue is something that's really close to the gospel. Like I mentioned, for instance, the virgin birth, and I told you a story about how our denomination had some issues about several of these gospel issues, like the virgin birth, the inerrancy of God's word, different things like that. We know those are gospel issues, don't we? Other things we're not quite sure about. So here are the things to think about. Think about those things that are closest to the gospel, our salvation in Jesus Christ. And also think about what are those things that are clearly stated in Scripture. Okay? Clearly, plainly stated in Scripture. If they are, they're gospel issues. And I want to give an example that somebody asked me about, just so we can have a real conversation here this morning. Someone asked me about the issue of homosexual relationships, for instance. And they said, is that a gospel issue? Because some people say, no, that's a matter of opinion. And other people say, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is a gospel issue. It is a gospel issue because the Bible speaks so plainly that it is not his design for marriage. It's not his design for relationships. It's outside of God's design. And therefore, anything outside of God's design is sin. And so, why is that? Well, let's just take that one case study. I could pick on so many things. It's just the thing I heard. So, first thing is this. So I said Romans chapter 1 and verse 26, Leviticus 18 verse 22, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 1 Timothy 1 verses 9 and 10 very clearly state that this particular sin is a sin. Here's another thing to think about. If you do not allow the Bible to define for you what is right and what is wrong, then you'll never run to Jesus. You know, if we don't know what a sin is in our heart and in our actions, then we won't run to Jesus. We don't need a Savior, right? It makes it a gospel issue. I mean, until each of us clearly identifies our sin, we have some similar sins, but we have our sin that we need to repent of, we won't go to Jesus to find forgiveness and God's favor, right? So there could be like an extra point today in the message. How do we not be a stumbling block for other people? Here's how. Know your Bible. Know what your Bible says. Amen. If you know what your Bible says, that's really helpful, isn't it? That way we're not a stumbling block, because there are many things that people say are opinions, but they're not opinions. God has spoken clearly, and he's spoken plainly, and we may not like it, but he's God. He gets to say, I'm not God. I don't get to decide. What we're talking about today are not those things. What we're talking about today are opinions, all right? Other things. Let me give you an example. I had a conversation with a lady this week that asked me this. She said, is it wrong to be cremated? Now, she's probably thinking about somebody in her family and their plans for death, and are they going to be buried or cremated? And, of course, it's much less expensive to be cremated, and there are other reasons as well. She said, is that a sin? I said, no, it's not a sin. There's nowhere in the Bible, not a chapter and a verse that says you have to do it like this and not like that. I mean, I could point to some principles in the Bible and tell you why I formed an opinion. I have an opinion. But I don't think you should follow my opinion. It's not in the book. God didn't say it. You get it? And in Rome, in the first century, they were having some issues with opinions. Things like eating meat that wasn't kosher meat, okay? Some people were saying you could do it, and other Christians were saying, no, you can't do it. We've never done it that way. Observing Saturday or special days, right? Like, some people felt comfortable mowing their grass on Saturday, and others were like, no. If you look in the book of 1 Corinthians and you go to chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the issue is slightly different, but it's similar. It's not really a Jewish-Gentile issue. It's more just a Gentile issue of eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. So here's the deal. In these pagan temples, they would have this meat that was offered to the idol, and there it would be in the pagan temple. And then later, they would sell that meat in the meat market at a discounted price, you know, because the idol already had his piece, and you can have the rest, okay? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, an idol is nothing. An idol is nothing. He's like, if there's meat that's been sacrificed to an idol and you can save 20% on that meat, save the money. Eat the meat. It's not tainted. But there are some people, right, that were like, whoa, wait, hold on a second. I used to go to that pagan temple. I used to participate in offering that meat before that idol. I'm not eating that meat. I ain't gonna even touch that meat. That meat is tainted for me. If I eat that meat, I'm not gonna eat it and give glory to God and give thanks to Him. Do you get that? Is because of their background, because of their experiences. That thing that was not sinful had become sinful to them because they could not eat it in faith. This is very important stuff. And so this is a super long introduction. The points will be shorter. How can I be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block? You want to be a stepping stone, don't you? I know I do. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I know I have been in the past. I want to be a stepping stone. First point here is let love control my Christian freedom. Let love control my Christian freedom. The text says in verse 14, I know I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean if anyone thinks it unclean. It's very important. I mentioned the illustration from the first century about the meat offered to idols. Maybe there's a lot of modern-day examples that I could give, but because he does talk about alcohol in verse 21, I'm just going to bring it up again. You know, maybe for some of you, you used to run with a crowd of people who absolutely everything they did together revolved around alcohol and getting wasted, okay? And to even drink a small glass of wine for you is like going back there all over again. It's tainted for you. I think this text is saying then you don't need to do it. It says in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, whatever is not done in faith is sin. But Paul takes us a little further. Look in your Bible in verse 15. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, by what he eats or what do you eat? What you eat. By what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. What are you being? A stumbling block. Yeah. It's love here. Love for our brothers that should govern our liberties in Christ. Why? Because we're not solo climbers. We're not solo climbers. We're linked together, and my actions affect you, and your actions affect me, and there's no way for me to get around that. Maybe you'd like to get around that and just say, I'd like to be solo Christian guy or gal, but you can't get around that. We're all connected. We've got to acknowledge that. We're all connected. And our love for our brothers should control our liberties. And this takes some real love, doesn't it? It takes some real love to love somebody enough that you're not going to do the thing you're free to do because it could hurt them. I was trying to think of an illustration with this. Here's an illustration. Oh my goodness, it's late. My son's grandfather got him a four-wheeler, okay? He got him a used four-wheeler, a two-stroke thing. You smell like a weed whacker when you're done riding it. Goes about 15 miles an hour, wide open. And he got this other four-wheeler. It's also a kid's four-wheeler. It's an 80cc, also a two-stroke. You smell like a weed whacker when you're done riding it. And he got that for him to grow into. My dad loves to fix things up. He loves to... Anyway, so I ride that sometimes with him. And I have had crotch rocket motorcycles and dirt bikes, and there is something, and there's a thrill seeker in me. Like I, but my relationship with my wife has restricted that. You know, I can't do those things anymore. So when I get on that little 80cc child's four-wheeler, like I want to just like ride a wheelie across the yard. I mean, that thing will go like 25 miles an hour. So I just want to run it all the way wide open. But there's a problem with that, isn't it? Because if I run it wide open, and if I'm riding wheelies around, what will Eli do? He'll want to do it too. And it's bad for him. He cannot do that. And so I have to limit my freedom and my fun and my dangerous thrill-seeking for the sake of Eli and his good. A similar thing is happening in the church. Love is seeking another person's highest good, not my own. We have to roll. For number two, how to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Make choices with eternity in mind. Make choices with eternity in mind. Hey guys, I showed you this illustration, if you guys will bring this up. When we think of our salvation in Jesus Christ, we often think about, are you saved? Have you been saved? And what we mean by that is, have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you surrendered control of your life and made Jesus your Lord and Savior? There's a point in our life when we do that. But sometimes we forget this. That justification is that one time we put our faith in Jesus, we receive the righteousness of Christ, and we can say we've been saved, but there's this thing called sanctification, where in this life I'm growing in godliness. I'm growing in godliness in my thoughts, in my attitudes, in my actions, and I'm persevering in faith, right? This is so important. The Bible says this, we are being saved, right? And then it says one day we will be saved, we will, future tense, be saved when Jesus comes again. Now let me ask you a question. How are you going to make it from the little dot of justification, if you've put your faith in Jesus, all the way to glorification? It's a good question. How are you going to make it? Well, There's a couple answers to that question. One is God's going to make sure you make it. The other answer is this. You got to keep on believing. You got to keep on believing. You got to keep on trusting. Let's read some verses really quick, because I hate for you to think I said something the Bible didn't say. Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas have made disciples in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and they go back and it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples to encourage them to continue in the faith, saying, through many trials must we enter the kingdom of God. How about Jesus? Let's listen to Jesus for a second. Mark 13:13, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. How about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19? They went out from us because they were not of us. Now, this is not talking about someone changing churches, okay? This is talking about someone leaving the faith. They went out from us because they were not of us. You know, many people can look like Christians, and he's saying here, but not everyone is. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they were not of us. This is one of my favorite verses, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Listen, guys, listen. Verse 14 says, for we have come to share in Christ if, someone say if, indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. This is the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Salvation is not signing a card, getting wet in a pool. It is a lifetime of following Jesus. And you know what that looks like sometimes? About like this. Right? And you know what? That's okay. But we've got to keep the faith, don't we? And God's behind us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to keep us. We read it last week in Romans 14. It says, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. The Lord can make you stand, you know? Read Romans chapter 8, for nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Read the chapter. But here's the thing. How are we going to get to heaven? It's going to take people in our lives who help us persevere in the faith. It's just biblical. Let me ask you a question. How am I going to get home today from church? I think God's going to get me home. I have a confidence in God that God's going to get me home today. Is he going to use a teleportation device and get me home and teleport me home? No, he is not going to use a teleportation device. How is he going to do it? I'm going to get in my car. If I turn the key and it doesn't start, you're going to come over, Lord willing, and help me and jump my car. And if I'm on the way, this doesn't work well because I live too close to the church, but if I'm on the way home and I get really tired and sleepy, my wife's going to knock me upside the back of the head and say, wake up! Just kidding, she wouldn't do that. But God uses a means to get me home. How are you going to make it home to heaven one day? How are you going to finish the course well? How are you going to keep the faith? I think God is going to use a means in our life to do that. And the means that he uses is the power of his Holy Spirit, right? And he uses the people in our church. God uses means. And why in the world am I even talking about this? Because twice in this passage it says this. In verse 15 and verse 20, I'll read verse 20. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. We're in this process, keeping the faith. Don't destroy the work of God. You have a role to play in this, in what God is doing in a person's life. Verse 19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. That's what we want to do. We want to be a stepping stone, don't we? Not a stumbling block. The last point is this. Never flaunt your Christian freedom. So how do I be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block? Lastly, don't flaunt your Christian freedom. All right? Look what it says in verse 22.
The faith that you have, keep between you and God.
Can y'all hear me? I think my mic went out. The faith that you have, keep between you and God. What does he mean by faith? He means the faith that you have to believe that you can eat that thing or drink that thing in moderation or do that thing and other people question it. That's the faith. Because he says at the last verse here in verse 23, anything that does not proceed from faith is a sin. And what he says here is, keep the faith that you have between you and God to flaunt your Christian freedom, whatever freedom it may be, on a matter of opinion, like we've been talking about, to flaunt your Christian freedom could hurt someone. I'm going to give a final example here. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. He was a preacher in the 19th century. That had a tremendous ministry in London. He's a great man in so many respects. But in his biography, his biographer brings up one thing that was maybe not wise on his part. Now, a little background about him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he liked to smoke cigars, okay? And back in those days, to smoke a cigar, they actually said it was healthy for you. The doctors said that it was probably good for your health. It was a common thing to do in London. And everybody knew that Spurgeon smoked. It was not a hidden thing in any way. But he had this man that came to his church from America, an American Baptist preacher. Okay? And that American Baptist preacher came and he sat on the stage with him. They used to have these big chairs on the stage. And he sat on the stage and he listened to Spurgeon preach a message about sin. And he talked about sin in your life, and there's sins in our life that if we don't repent of those sins, that it'll harden us. It'll actually affect our prayer life. And so this man is listening to Spurgeon preach this message, and then he's invited to come up. And so he comes up to the pulpit and he says, I want to give an example about a sin that was a stronghold in my life, and it was smoking cigars. and so he goes on for some time to talk about smoking cigars, and he basically says that it really had become an idol in his life. It become a thing that he did that had taken the place of God in his life. And so he said that God really convicted him of it. And so he said, one day I took that cigar box and I threw it down on the floor and I gave it to God. Now, how did Charles Spurgeon feel about this? He felt on the spot, didn't he? And so when he got back up to preach, I'm going to give you his words here. Let's see. Now, the gentleman probably made it sound more like a sin than a enslaving habit that he felt like the Lord wanted him to put to death. But he got back up and said, well, dear friends, you know that some men can do to the glory of God what other men would do as sin. And notwithstanding what Brother Pentecost has said, I intend to smoke a good cigar to the glory of God before I go to bed tonight. And then he quoted this verse in Romans, and he said, because whatever is not done in faith is sin. Now, I think he got something right and something really wrong. And who am I to say, right? Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. What did he get right? Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that it's a sin to smoke a cigar. Now, you can make an argument about it from health and other reasons and what you personally feel like God wants you to do, and I think you should. But it's not a sin. But it is not wise to flaunt your liberty. And I'm going to smoke a cigar to the glory of God tonight. Because the man who just talked, that was an idol for him. And it was a hard one to lay down. You know what I mean? That was the mistake. And why don't we want to flaunt our liberties? Because we want to be stepping stones, don't we? We want to be stepping stones for people, not stumbling blocks. And so, church, let us be fully convinced in our minds on all these opinions. I hope you have an opinion about many things, about everything you do in your life, because we talked about it last week. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatsoever you do, do everything to the glory of God. Amen? We want to do everything to God's glory. So you want to make sure you're doing things for God's glory. But we also want to make sure that we're not causing another one to be tempted. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be God's instrument to help people stand in hard times. I want to be God's instrument when people hear, you got cancer. It's stage 4. It's metastasized. I want to be God's instrument to help them stand, to help them keep believing the gospel. You know? So, church, let us help each other climb. Climb the hill. With God's Spirit empowering us till we stand at the top of Mount Zion and gaze at the New Jerusalem with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. If you would bow your heads with me, we're going to pray.